Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Legacy of a Nation. I'm Brother Mac, and soon to be with us is my loyal co-host, Sun752. We come to you at this time every Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m., and we come with a mission. Our mission is to increase the awareness of the Aboriginal community. And when I speak of the Aboriginal community, I am referring to our ancestors who were in these lands of the Americas many thousands of years before the arrival of the Europeans 500 years ago in 1492 by way of Christopher Columbus. Legacy of a Nation contends that we are a nation of people inside of another nation, and we as a people don't know that. The world knows that, and the nation within which we reside knows that. But we are unaware that with a nation of people 50 million strong, we are the 17th, or we are the 26th largest nation in the world. We are bigger by population than over 200 nations in the world. And so, when we come to you for an hour each week, our attempt is to provide a platform whereby we can talk with each other about ourselves, and we can do this without fear of ridicule, retribution, or of sounding silly, as we realize that we have been programmed over hundreds of years not to talk about ourselves, not to assemble, not to trust each other, but rather to be individualistic to the point of nobody knows and sometimes cares about anybody else. But Legacy of a Nation, for an hour, provides a platform whereby we who are descended from slaves can talk with each other about our condition, about our future. And so, the mission that Legacy of a Nation has is to increase the awareness of the Aboriginal community. And in attempting to do that, we have isolated 22 references that can be used to satisfy yourself as to the legitimacy of our claim that we are Aborigines, that we are natives, that we are indigenous. Our ancestors were in these lands of the Americas, and that's North America, Central America, and South America, and all of the Caribbean islands. We, by way of our ancestry, were already here when they came. That information has not been widely disseminated to us, been well hidden. And Legacy of a Nation is attempting to put it out on the table so that we can see why we are the way that we are today. Why are we a nation 50 million strong, 100% literacy, and controlling or at least participating in one of the highest economies in the world? Research has shown that if we had our own flag, if we had our own country, and if we continued to have the income, the spending power that we have, we would be the 17th largest or richest nation in the world. We would be number 17. And so it should be interesting that we don't know this. We don't know it, but the larger community we reside in does know it. Now, 2752, I trust that all is well with you. Good evening, sir.
Brother Mac, it's always a pleasure to be broadcasting with you on another Saturday evening. I'm feeling like a real man should, and I hope that you're feeling the same. I'm ready to go.
Very well. All right, I'm preparing to read off the 22 references for the satisfaction of anybody who would care to just dig into our claim that we are Aborigines, that we are natives, that we are indigenous, that our lands, that our ancestors walked, farmed, tilled, hunted, and built great monuments in these lands thousands of years before the arrival of the Europeans. We go back even prehistory. And so, now, the references start with one, Ouachita. Ouachita is spelled W-A-S-H-E-T-A-W, Ouachita. And number two is Black Californians. Black Californians, V-L-A-C-K, Black Californians, C-A-L-I-F-O-R-N-I-A-N-S, California, Black Californians. And number three is Black Mound Builders. B-L-A-C-K, Black Mound, M-O-U-N-D, Builders, B-U-I-L-D-E-R-S, Black Mound Builders. And number four is Colossal Heads, Colossal, C-O-L-O-S-S-A-L, Colossal Heads. And number five is Folsom People, Folsom, F-O-L-S-O-M, P-E-O-P-L-E, Folsom People. Number six is Garifuna People, Garifuna, G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A, Garifuna People. Number seven is Maroons, Maroons, M-A-R-O-O-N-S, Maroons. And number eight is Yamasee People, Yamasee, Y-A-M-A-S-E-E, Yamasee People. And number nine is Moors, Moors, M-U-U-R-S, Moors. Number 10 is Darienite People, Darienite, D-A-R-I-E-N-I-T-E, Darienite People. Number 11 is Olmecs, Olmecs, O-L-M-E-C-S, Olmecs. And number 12 is Heritage, Heritage, H-E-R-I-T-A-G-E, Heritage. And number 13 is Melungeon, Melungeon, M-A-L-U-N-G-E-N, Melungeon Moor, M-O-O-R this time. All right, number 14 is Fulani People, Fulani, F-U-L-A-N-I. And number 15 is Mandinka, Mandinka People, Mandinka, M-A-N-D-I-N-K-A. And number 16 is Hyksos. Hyksos is H-Y-K-S-O-S, Hyksos. And number 17 is Neteru. Neteru, N-E-T-E-R-U, Neteru. And 18 is Lumerian, Lumerian, L-U-M-E-R-I-A-N. Number 19 is Noble Drew Ali. Noble, N-O-B-L-E-D-R-E-W, A-L-I, Noble Drew Ali. And number 20 is Moorish, Moorish, M-O-O-R-I-S-H, A-M-E-R-I-C-A-N, Moorish American. And number 21 is Anasazi, Anasazi, A-N-A-S-A-Z-I. And number 22 and last is Mississippians, Mississippians, M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I-A-N-S, Mississippians. We feel most strongly that within these 22 references, you can prove to yourself, to your satisfaction, that yes, we are indigenous. Yes, this land is the land of our forefathers, of our ancestors, who were here thousands of years before the arrival of Columbus 500 years ago. And so, That being said, Legacy of a Nation, in coming to you once every week for an hour on Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m., we cover over the course of the month, we cover four main topics. The four main topics that we cover are, number one, health. We feel that a nation needs to know how to gain and maintain the health of its citizens, its residents, its people. Number two is history. Legacy of a Nation feels that a nation of people needs to know where they came from, how they got where they are, and where they may be going to. And number three is a nation of people needs to know who makes the laws and why, who has to follow them, and what are the rewards for following them, what are the punishments for disobeying or going against the law. Number four is economics. A nation needs to know how to house, clothe, and feed its residents, its citizens, its people. And so we cover those four main topics over the course of every month, one at a time, one each Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m. Today's main topic is politics. And the question on the board is, what if Mr. Trump has COVID-19? What if he has it? And what should we expect if he does? Now, 7752, if you would, please let our listeners know how they can participate in the conversation should they choose to.
Absolutely. I would like to welcome everybody to the Legacy of a Nation show. The Legacy of a Nation show broadcasts each and every Saturday evening from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Legacy of a Nation movement represents, advocates, and supports the Aboriginal, Native, and Indigenous community of North and South America, Central America, and the Caribbean. We were here first. We are Indigenous. We are Native. We are Aboriginal. We were here before the Europeans ever came here to rape, pillage, practice genocide, and so-called colonize these lands. We were here before Africans were ever brought here and transported from here to Africa in the reverse Middle Passage. We were here before the so-called Native American, and that is in no way any disrespect to the so-called Native American. It's just that the Native American is us, and we are them. We are Native. We are Indigenous. We are Aboriginal. Tonight, as Brother Max stated, we are asking the question on the Legacy of a Nation show. What if Mr. Trump has COVID-19? What are your thoughts on this topic? If you would like to call in and add your two cents, make a comment, ask a question, or start a discussion, we invite you to call in. And the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. If you are online, you can switch over. If you are on the line, if you've already called in, just press number one if you would like to speak, or if you would like to be online and listen to the show, go to blogtalkradio.com/SUN752. That's blogtalkradio.com/SUN752. This is the Legacy of a Nation show. Welcome once again.
Is that back to me? All right.
Yes, that's back to you, Brother Matt.
Thank you, 7752. All right. With today's topic being politics and the question being, what if Mr. Trump has COVID-19? What if he has the virus? And the question has arisen, what if he doesn't have it? What if this is a play that that he is directing so that he can come up with a cure that has been tried and worked on him. Just a thought. All right. All right. Caller 1703. Let me open your mic. Welcome to the Legacy of a Nation, Brother Elohim. Good evening, sir. I trust it all is well with you.
Everything's going just great. I figured out how to be here at 6 o'clock. I'm sorry I missed the last couple of shows. I scheduled my dinner time at 5, so I'm not going to miss my meals. So I know I'll be awake for 6 o'clock. So just got finished eating a nice little scrumpy five vegetable meal, retrogress from my age, and I love it. A gray hair is starting to disappear. Black hair is starting to come back in. Let me see here. I'm Elohim from Elohim Radio, 8 o'clock. Every Sunday we're on the air. Well, it's got to be there 8 o'clock. Sometimes Big Brother has other ideas. We talk about the Bible as a code book rather than a religious book. As a religious book, you gain the money. As a code book, you gain the power. If you do both of them, you have money and power. That's why the black churches don't have no power. They just have the money because they're not using the book as a code book. So we go through the codes every Sunday to show you how to get some of that power for yourself, okay? The number is 516-453-9230. That's 516-453-9230 every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Okay, now. I think the nigga got the flu. I'm talking about Trump now. I think he got the flu, and he got beat so bad in the last debate. They don't want him to debate no more. So I think this is a ploy. I think gained sympathy from his followers and everything else, you know, and it made it seem like he would have done better if he hadn't caught the flu. The verdict is in. Mr. Trump, you're fired.
No boy.
And then I want to request that one day you do a lecture on how to be a real man, because I sure want to feel like a real man. Sure. That's
it. Okay. Very well.
back to you guys.
Okay. All right. Sun 752. If the first thing that struck me when I learned that President Trump was going to the hospital for that he had tested positive and was going to the hospital for further testing overnight. I said, that's interesting. Well, are we being set up to be told his condition has worsened, and you should pray for him, and eventually he died? Or,
well, I hate to say it. Well, go ahead.
Man, say it, brother. Man, say it.
Oh, well, as soon as I get my chance, I'll say it.
You know, go ahead. You got.
Well, I don't wish him well. I'm not going front. You know what I mean? You know, when the devil leaves my life, I'm not going to be boo-hooing over it. You know what I'm saying? I don't care who it is. So, you know, but one thing is for sure with this guy, there's always something up his sleeve. One thing that I'm sure of, if he has the virus, he didn't get it on purpose. I've heard people theorize that he may have given himself the virus in order to gain sympathy. One thing that you have to understand about Donald Trump, if you don't know, is that he's very phobic. He's very phobic in a lot of areas. He's claustrophobic. He's afraid of bugs, mice. He's, you know, the dark, like he's extremely, no, I'm serious. He's extremely phobic and he's extremely germophobic, extremely germophobic. That's why it was so interesting to see how he was trying to blow off the whole COVID-19 thing, even after he knew the seriousness of it. So, you know, Although he may put other people in danger because he doesn't seem to have any problem with putting everybody except for himself in uncomfortable or terrible conditions. But he would never risk getting sick in any way. An interesting fact that people may find interesting about Donald Trump is back when we were in the AIDS era, Donald Trump was very promiscuous. Well, he ran around with his wife. He was very he was very adulterous when he was married. But one thing he always did was that he would have all of his any woman that he dealt with, he would make sure that they were tested for AIDS before he had any dealings with them. Now, a lot of people may do that, but when you consider that he did that in casual sex situations, you see the type of person that he is. He's very, very germophobic. He's very phobic, period. See, you know, the media doesn't always give you a historical account about the way that a person is. But I followed this guy for longer than when he became president of the United States. That's why I have absolutely no appreciation for him. But I'm pretty sure that there's something that is going to happen with this whole COVID-19 thing for him. I don't know what it is. You know, it could be an excuse or a reason to ramp up the production of a vaccine. It could be a variety of things. But you can best believe that anything that he does, there's something more behind it than meets the eye. Because he's a carnival barker. He's a sideshow guy. He performs magic. He performs tricks. He tells you how to think and what to believe and how to look. So, this is a wait and see sort of thing, but it's awfully ironic that somebody who admittedly played down the coronavirus while actively making sure that he didn't get it, actually got it. So we'll see what happens. You know, will he emerge from this saying that it's really just like the flu, like I said about it the whole time, or will he get an epiphany and really fight COVID-19 the way he should have probably done in the beginning to get this thing under control, or is it the first thing, you know, trying to ramp up production of a vaccine, cure, whatever. At this point, I don't think that anything that he does will change the mind of the people who support him or don't show support for him. I don't think that he's gonna change it around for anybody who has already made up their mind way beforehand. But this is an interesting development, one that nobody suspected, and we'll have to kind of see. You know, will his supporters who have openly booed anyone who told them to wear masks, even at his rallies and things like that, even if it was a Donald Trump mask, you know, will they say, well, our leader, Massa has, well, for the black people, he would be Massa, but for everybody else, our leader is in trouble. And since he says that wearing masks is important now, I think we all need to wear masks. We'll see. We're living in it. We're living the rebirth of totalitarianism. Totalitarianism. This is the second coming of that, if anyone hasn't noticed. But we know how the first one went. I don't know how this one exactly is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I have for you.
Okay. Interestingly, 7752, you kind of swayed in the direction that first hit me, you know, the two scenarios. If he has it, are we being gradually told that he's dying, or did he orchestrate the whole thing from being tested and found positive, being taken to the hospital and set up in a presidential suite where he can carry on business, and then letting it be known that he's going to be volunteering for this untested vaccine or this untested treatment, and then if he comes out with the reputation that hey, he has found a cure or he has found a treatment. Those are the two extremes. I'm betting that the whole story has not been told, and it may never be. But with the question that we have tonight, what should we expect in either scenario? Let's say he's going to be treated and released after a 14-day quarantine, and the polling booth or the election will be only 2 weeks away by the time he comes out of isolation. Now, 7752, do you think that nobody who has his mind made up already is really going to change over, or is the real concentration supposed to be after those who have not made up their mind and who haven't voted? Who haven't registered? If we get those on either side, it would be a swinger. Is that kind of how it goes?
Well, I think that the people who are undecided, I've always wondered about how undecided people who are undecided are. I honestly don't believe in that class. You know, I think it's a bunch of BS. But one thing is for sure is that His true supporters have not wavered, no matter what kind of foolishness that he's performed before. So I don't expect them to be any different. You know when it becomes a case when withdrawing support for someone will shine a light on whether you should have supported them in the beginning. You know, it's a reflection of people's decision making and their judgment. You know what I mean? So we don't really want to get that wrong. So I understand to a certain degree when people defend him if they've defended him before, because it's like, well, you know, people don't want to hear about themselves. You never should have supported them in the first place. You know, who could support somebody who does this, that, and the third? So they hang on to that. It's sort of like when you identify with your favorite sports team, and even if they are the most terrible team in the league and have gone through horrendous seasons year after year after year, that's still your team. So you're still going to identify with a version of, well, with a part of yourself that is either in or out. You know what I mean? So I look at Trump supporters in the same way. They probably are not going to jump ship if he does anything, because logically, if you think about it, he has made people not protect themselves against COVID-19. So if the world were logical, him getting COVID-19 after doing that and after having been exposed as knowing the risks, the dangers, and keeping those things to himself, and also promoting exactly the opposite of what the risk should have compelled him to do, you would think that people would have stopped supporting him then, but they haven't. If anything, they've supported him even more as far as what you can hear in the media. People don't his supporters don't seem to believe anything negative about him. I mean, there's plenty of negative things about anyone, but for some reason they don't seem to believe anything negative about him. It's all about what the media has said about him. So I'm thinking, well, if it's all about what the media has said about him, then the good things that the media, particularly Fox, has said about him should be under question as well, because you know everybody can't be wrong. When you look at someone like that who has only served one term and who has lost more people in one term than anybody has ever. You know, I'm talking about his appointees, people who were instrumental in not only his campaign but in the implementation of his administration. So all of them, without exception, seem to have a consistent story about his personality and about what the future would look like if he is allowed to continue as president. But people don't want to listen to that. You understand what I mean? So I think it's weird that, you know, to his staunch supporters, everybody can be wrong except for him, even when you can clearly see with your own eyes. You know, that's inconsistent. Their story about his negativity is consistent, but his claims of what he's done and his grandiose self-grandizing is inconsistent as far as the facts are concerned. But hey, I would love to say that I wish him well and that I hope he comes out of this thing stronger than ever, but I don't. Well, I don't. Listen, there's no need to fake the funk. I don't wish him well. But I didn't wish him well when he was well, you know. So I didn't wish him sick. But hey, I was created a little different. You know what I'm saying? I know it's not the Christian way, and the fact that I'm not a Christian doesn't have anything to do with that. But I'm just not the one that gets sick when Master is sick. No, boss, we ain't sick. You is, and I hope that you get real sicker. But I do understand that no matter how sick you get, and even if it leads to your demise, that will not free me. Just like when I was a chattel slave. Well, just like when my ancestors were a chattel slave. It didn't spell freedom for me. And it won't spell freedom for me if anything should happen to him. So for his supporters, I hope his supporters wish him well, because I ain't doing it.
Okay. All right.
And it is what it is.
Very good, sir. Now, what would be the result of his conceding the campaign or losing the campaign, and Joe Biden becoming president? And what would be the consequence of his actually winning again? You know, I have made the comment that I would rather be in a fight in the ring with Mike Tyson than to be in a social or political battle with Donald Trump. And my reason for saying that is because in the ring with Mike Tyson, there are rules. Once he knocks me out, he stops beating on me. With Trump.
Well,
what's your comment,
10752? I'm just saying, I mean, if you believe in smoke and mirrors, then you should fear Trump. But I don't see what everyone is afraid of. You know, I really don't. Like, he gives this impression that he does everything that he says, and that, you know, I mean, he sells a lot of wolf tickets. A lot of boo, a lot of scare tactics, a lot of that. I'm not impressed by that. You know what I'm saying? Like, what has he done that he said he was going to do to anybody? He said what he was going to do to North Korea. He said what he was going to do to Syria. I mean, what has he done? I mean, just honestly, the rumors of war has been what has been his claim to fame. The actual war? No. No. Mm-mm. Not at all. I mean, when you really go into it, the rumor, he sells rumors of war like crazy. Like, this man is unstable. We don't know what he might do. But we do know what he has done based on what he said that he would do. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to get caught up in. I'm definitely going to vote on November 3rd in person, and I don't know. I may be armed or whatever, but there's no way I'm going to let these little white extremist militia groups and whatever, you know, scare me any more than they've done me and my ancestors up until this point. This cat gotta go. So, Donald Trump has not conceded. He has not conceded authority to Mike Pence yet, which is very telling of what may be going on behind the scenes here. You know, he gave the impression and even evidence that he was the pillar of health. No underlying health conditions. You know. I don't know if you remember when he was campaigning or when he had first been elected, and he had this wild looking doctor. It looked like a pagan or a hell's angel with all that hair. And he said that Donald Trump was in tip top shape, you know, excellent condition, and that was supposed to be his answer to how sick Hillary Clinton was supposed to have been. So. Now we're finding out, because he has COVID-19, that he does have underlying health conditions, and he hasn't been the pillar of health, and this is a very dangerous situation for him, being a senior citizen, which COVID-19 has claimed more of than any other age group. So it's a serious situation. Will he loves Brother Mac? I had never heard the word hoax used by an American president ever before in life. And I don't think that a month goes by that he doesn't use that word. But so I'm just being honest. I've never heard. Have you, in all your recollection of all your years, have you ever heard a U.S. president refer to anything as a hoax?
No, but that's probably some 752. That's probably due to their the fact that they don't know the word. It's a long one. But
yeah, limited vocabulary. I understand.
Yeah.
So
yes.
But because he uses that word so much, because that is pretty much his imprint. Maybe it will be a hoax. Maybe some other hoax is coming forth. That he will actually give instead of receiving. I don't know. We don't see. There's a lot to this, and you know, it's an interesting situation. But this is what we're working with. You know, COVID-19. I mean, you know, is he going to emerge from this thing like Superman? It doesn't kill seniors. It didn't kill me. Hey, you know, 200 and whatever the number is, the 200,000, 206,000 people dead because of COVID-19, and people want to dispute the numbers. And I think that the numbers are disputable. But what if you cut it in half? Would that be acceptable?
Hmm.
How about one fourth of that? Would that be okay? 50,000 dead? Because even if you took the 50,000 dead, guess how much that outweighs everyone else in the world? Let's just say this, Brother Mac. We're number one. We're number one. And our spot is secure. I see that we have a caller on the line. Caller with the last number 6103. Welcome to the Legacy of a Nation show. Thank you for holding. What's on your mind this evening?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call, first of all. And I just want to say, you regard the numbers of America being number one. No one has any idea how many people died in China. I mean, we have to always take this into account. So, and the idea that we would have more deaths in China than me is ridiculous, considering their population, not to mention the fact that they have more densely populated cities than we do. I mean, if you look at some of their bigger cities, most of their cities are way bigger than New York, and they're more tightly packed together. So, of course, they're going to have more cases and more deaths. They're just not going to report it, because we know if you go back to January, the World Health Organization parroting the China's line, because China was trying to say this thing can't be passed human to human through human-human contact. Remember, originally they were saying the only way you could get it is if you had contact with certain animal goods that they sold in the wet markets, like they had in Wuhan. And then they changed it about a month and a half later. So for all we know, between January, I mean, it's early December all the way through March, no one has any idea how many people got it and how many people died. In fact, there's tons of videos where the Chinese were literally going into people's apartments and homes, pulling people out who they thought had it, and taking them to concentration camps. And in the city of Wuhan alone, these camps had massive fires that were burning all night long that they got satellite images of. So, and then I think there was another report saying there was a massive reduction in the number of people who used the Huawei cell phone service, especially near the Wuhan area. So no one has any idea how the number is, but it's definitely going to be higher than what America has. There's no question. I just think that America's numbers are reported better because we've had more tests done, first and foremost. I think they said we've tested about almost 60 million people. So.
Well, how do you feel that Trump's contracting COPD will impact
COVID, Brother Mac. Not COPD. COPD is another animal.
Okay. All right. Let's say COVID. Okay. I guess I'm curious as to how do you think that the Trump reelection campaign will be impacted by his contracting COVID-19, that's the question. How do you feel is this going to be good for him, or is this going to take him out of the running, or is this business as usual?
No, I think it'll be business as usual, and I think the election is basically already set. I think what we're going to witness is, amongst the people that are going to vote in person, he's going to win, but he's going to have a massive margin. And then what's going to happen is the mail-in voting is going to come in. And initially, it's going to look like Biden won. It'll be taken to court. And then in court, they're going to find there's going to be a whole bunch of like fraudulent stuff that happened. And what's going to most likely end up happening is they're going to have a second election, because this election is not going to be trusted. And the Democrats knew what they were doing, by the way, because I've been following this closely. If you look at the rules in some of these states that they put in for mail-in voting, it's set up in a way that's going to call it into question off top. I mean, think about it. You got some states where you can the votes can be counted up to, I think, the 9th, and in some states up to the 16th, as long as it's been supposedly postmarked by November 3rd. And in some states, they have a rule in place where even if, for example, the postmark date was supposed to say that it was mailed by the 3rd, isn't quote-unquote viable, meaning you can't really tell what it says, they can still count it if they receive it by November 9th.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to ask you off top, just based on those rules alone, what do you think could possibly happen?
I think you put it very succinctly. It could call into question, the validity of the ballot, and it could cause a change from the first impression, and of course that would be that Biden had won by let's say a small margin. And then in comes, let's say we got up until the 9th, or was it the 16th for the absentee ballots to be open and counted.
Well, it's different state to state. Some states have the window until the November 9th, and then some states have it all the way to the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, just like people, should just call some common sense here. It's pretty simple. If you think about the fact that this election is going to be determined by what happens in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. And if you look at in 2016, Trump won Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin by like a really thin margin. It was really, really close. I think it was Michigan, I believe, was less than 50,000 votes. Pennsylvania was around that range, same with Wisconsin. And if I'm not mistaken, Wisconsin is one of the states that happens to have some of the loosest rules with this mail-in voting stuff going on. And, you know, the Democrats, obviously, to me, they understand. They've had a long history of voter fraud. If you know what's happened in places like Philadelphia and Chicago for, like, decades, it's been known how Democrats engage in this kind of stuff. And so I think they knew what was coming. They knew that Trump was going to win because they know the internal polling. Because they could see that the rioting and Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all that stuff swung a big chunk of people in America over to Trump. Because people were seeing the fact that the Democrats were too closely associated with all the rioting and looting. And it was moving in the polls. Anyone who works in internal polling can tell you this. I used to work in the DNC. I know people that still do. They know how much that affected it. And so they knew what was coming. So they really went all in on this mail-in voting thing because they knew we've got to do something so we have something in place so that when we see what the numbers are on the actual election day, November 3rd, we can put people in a place to put ballots, to bring ballots out so we can make up whatever margin we have in some of these key battleground states. And the whole country is going to be pissed. There's going to be so much fighting and looting and rioting in the streets. This time you're going to have right-wing, left-wing people colliding. November is going to be one of the worst months in America's history. And I think most people don't realize what's coming in November. And it's going to really stun a lot of people.
Oh, my goodness. That's regardless of who wins, right?
Well, either way, but let's say if Trump wins, it's definitely going to be rioting and looting like we saw back in March and April and May, except it's going to be even bigger this time because they saw how much they could get away with. And let's not forget how much money groups like BLM made after the George Floyd situation. They got millions and millions of dollars in donations. So this time they're going to be better funded. Groups like Antifa, all these groups, they've been getting a ton of money recently. And they saw that in certain cities, in certain states, basically the Democratic leadership was telling the police and the National Guard to stand down and let these people do what they want. Mm-hmm. When we saw what happened. Now these people know if we get enough people out on the streets, we can loot any business we want, and they're not going to stop us. We can burn down whatever we want. They're not going to stop us. And the rage that will be generated from people if Trump wins, especially in New York, Chicago, Seattle, L.A., some of these big, you know, Democrat cities, it's going to be the craziest thing you've ever seen. And you're going to have a whole bunch of people who aren't even going to care, who don't even care about politics, but just going to see the opportunity to go out and riot and loot and it's gonna make what we saw back in last spring look like nothing.
You're describing civil disobedience.
Is it? Can I jump in for a second? Can somebody explain this Antifa situation? Because I've been told that it's not really a group.
Well, it's not. They don't have a website. They don't have a headquarters. They don't have a leader. You know, it's a
real thing. It's been a long history. It depends where you live. For example, I don't know, where do you guys live at? Do you guys live on the West Coast?
No, I live in Philadelphia.
Okay, so if you're from the East part of America, you're not going to be that familiar with Antifa. Antifa is more based in like California, Oregon, and Washington, right? So I don't know if you've been seeing what was going on in Portland. Remember there was like 100 days where it was like they had surrounded a courthouse building in Portland.
Yeah, but they still don't have a headquarters. They still don't have any named members, and they still don't have a website. So
you could go to YouTube or go online, and there are tons of videos about Antifa. There's tons of videos of people who are on the ground, like recording them what they're doing.
I know. I'm very, very familiar with Antifa
They don't have a headquarters, but that doesn't matter. You don't need a headquarters. You don't need to have an actual leader. They have a movement.
Well,
so their movement,
that's why
they have a uniform that identifies them, by the way. They almost always wear all black with a mask on. They sometimes wear helmets and riot gear. When they do their protests and rioting, they usually use umbrellas in the forefront. I don't know if you remember in Chicago a couple of weeks ago. Remember when they were trying to take down the Columbus statue in Grand Park in Chicago?
I do, yes.
Okay, so
what
the police commissioner did a video presentation of what happened at that park, and they had a helicopter video from up top. You can check it out. It's on YouTube right now. And
I'm not saying that they don't have people.
What Antifa did. No, but they did a military movement in the protest.
Okay.
They had a whole squad of people. Change clothes.
Let me remind you.
And then
I'm sorry, but we've got remaining. We've only got 7 minutes, and we've got two callers here who have been patiently waiting. One of them getting impatient. Let us bring on caller 1104 or 1108.
Okay.
Good evening, ma'am. How are you this evening?
I'm doing okay.
All right.
It sounds like the gentleman is trying to scare folks. He sounds like a Trump supporter. I've been following this for a long time. I've already voted, so I'm not scared of him. I've done my voting. I did mine by mail. He really sounds like, you listen carefully to what he's saying. He sounds like they got people calling people, telling them they did it in Detroit, but if they vote, they got the cops going to come and get them, and they're going to get sued and all of this. Be careful who you listen to.
I never said any of that, by the way.
I didn't say you. I'm just keep talking about Antifa.
And where are you getting off saying I'm trying to scare people?
No,
we're just talking
like
facts here.
No, I understand what you're saying,
tell me one thing
that
said that was incorrect.
Oh,
I'm not
Trump
a Trump supporter.
Supporter.
I'm an independent. I'm not Republican or Democrat.
Well, sound,
but I want you to tell me one statement I made
really
that
did.
Was incorrect. Let's make anything that wasn't
but
factual.
But there's such a war going on. I just don't believe that.
I'm asking you, tell me one thing that I said was inaccurate or false right now. Can you name one thing?
First of all, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. That's number one.
It's not an argument. You came on and accused me of trying to scare people.
And you have yours.
I was stating facts. Okay, so you just
stating,
come on, Mick, you falsely accuse somebody, and then when I challenge you to show me where I said that was wrong, you can't do it.
All right.
Y'all can't talk at the same time. Wait a minute.
Wait, hold on. You're done because you don't know what you're talking about, now you're going to run away. You threw a rock, and now you're going to dash.
No.
Okay,
let us come back to that if we have any time left over. But with only about 5 minutes remaining, caller 5395, welcome to Legacy of a Nation. What's on your mind?
Caller with the last number 7628.
7628, did you want to speak?
Yes.
Perhaps.
Yes. How you doing?
Okay, go ahead.
The question is about if Trump passes away, I believe. So it kind of, who will take the role? And I believe
that was one of the questions. Go ahead.
Yes. All right. Well, the divide between the rich and the poor has kept getting larger and larger, and we trade parties between the Democrats and Republicans. If Trump passes away, there will be not much difference. It's like a slow death. We're going to die faster, or with Biden getting in, we know the change is not going to come. Police brutality didn't just start with Trump. Obama was there. It was just as broad, and immigration, how they did the so-called immigrants and all that, has always been existing. So we keep believing in a system that don't work for us. I don't care if we say, because in a lot of different ways, we probably came apart of a conspiracy of if we was here before or we part of the people that was here after, we still getting kicked in the butt. Over 400 years of it. And it don't matter who's in power. It don't matter. So
right.
I had some friends of mine that's in the Democratic Party, real heavy and all that, and I said, I'm a volunteer to help at the booth, but I might not vote. Oh, whoa. Yeah, I'll tell you what I was there for, whoever. Then they cut me off. I said, that's how I ignorance. Keep believing in something that needs, the whole thing needs to blow up. Because it don't work for us.
What are you going to replace it with if you blow up America?
Yeah, all right, let me say this. There was a friend of mine was telling me as we was in the car about a conversation about, everybody's going to die. When you say that question, everybody's going to pass away. It ain't no, anybody's getting out of here alive. We're going to have to make it over. I'm going to say the topic. Yeah, let me make a topic. Yes, but I don't control when my children are going to die or when I'm going to die. I don't control that.
Oh, so you don't care what kind of country your children grow up in?
Oh, yeah, I was born. But who said it? Malcolm X said I was born in hell and I'm still catching hell. So what difference does it make? I'm a gift.
Oh,
so
it doesn't matter what kind of land, what life your children and your grandchildren are going to live? To
man,
hell with it, let them live in some terrible country? Is that what you're thinking?
Wherever we go, it's white supremacists all over the world that's calling the
shots.
Oh,
okay. So the people that were before you that fought to give you the rights and benefits that you got today that they didn't have, well, what they did, it didn't matter. They shouldn't even have bothered because the heck with it. Who cares how the next generation lives, right? That's the way
we
should start thinking.
Let me say this. It was a guy named, I think his name was Benjamin Montgomery. He was a free slave or a indentured servant. And he was making progress. This was before the institutionalized slavery in itself. And once they found he was getting somewhere with being an indentured servant, they still kicked him in the butt because they had the guns and the weapons.
Oh, my God.
You realize
how many blood, sweat, and tears have been shed to
give
you the right that you're able to live now?
So
you're one of the people that don't appreciate the sacrifices people have made before you to help make your life better.
When you say better, I got a lot of stuff, but I got an agony behind a lot of stuff.
You're going through the same stuff people in the 1800s and the early 1900s were going through. You're going through the same stuff, really? Have you no shame? You've got no respect for your forefathers.
When you say the same
think
stuff,
that way.
I'm able to become part of a conspiracy of taking other people's stuff who was here and get them away. That's what I'm able to do.
Okay, so let's just call it like it is. You're part of this modern, mentally weak generation that thinks they're oppressed when the people who before you went through real oppression. If you think you got it tough today, I'm sorry to tell you, just because you're weak. That's it, man. That's a fact.
Yeah, but
you don't got
but
it hard, bro. Call in America in 2020. You do not have it tough living in America in 2020.
Time. We
you
are
lying
out of time.
You need to go read a history book and find out what black people were living like in the past and learn what people.
We are out of time. 10752.
All righty. Well,
all right, 10752, if you would, please sign us out with a promise that we'll be back.
All right. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Legacy of a Nation show. We will be back next Saturday, 6 p.m. For the callers who called in, I'm sorry that we had to cut you off. But we keep it pretty tight here. So call in a little bit earlier next week, and we will probably be able to let everybody express themselves fully.
We certainly welcome input. And our mission is to increase the awareness of the Aboriginal community. We are the Aboriginal community, and this is where we provide a platform where we can talk among ourselves, to ourselves, and about ourselves without fear of retribution or criticism, because there's so much about us that we need to know. Thank you so much. Sun 752, if you would, please sign us out.
All right, Brother Mac, that's it. All right, so see everybody next week, and be safe. Peace.